friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm glad to be back in the big chair helping Sonny out while he takes a break. It's hard to believe the opening ceremony of the delayed 2020 Tokyo Olympics was 3 weeks ago today. We saw so many great performances by all the athletes. I just want to give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out to all the competitors who did their best without friends and family in attendance. My favorite moment was when the two high jumpers, Mutaz Essa Barshim of Bahrain and Gianmarco Tamberi of Italy, decided to forego the jump off at 2.37 meters and share the gold medal. I'm excited to see them compete in the future. Just imagine what the reaction would have been if fans had been allowed inside the Tokyo Olympic Stadium. For an Olympics review, we're joined today by our faithful correspondents, Samson Omale and Iron Mike Mbonye, who will recap the Olympics for the African continent from east to west and north to south. Samson leads us off with this review of how African athletes performed, starting with a look at Kenya's track and field athletes. Iron Mike comes up next with the review of Nigeria's performance on the track. And later in the show, my VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us for a look at Jordan Chiles, the gymnast from the USA who stepped in when champion Simone Biles was unable to compete in the team event. And then we'll wrap things up with news of a dreamy conclusion to a unique baseball game held in the central part of the U.S. So let's get started. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings, Dan. We begin the review of African Olympians at the 2020 Tokyo Games as athletes who represented their various countries at the Olympic Games returned home to a heroic welcome. The 32nd Olympiad ended on Sunday with Africa winning a total of 37 medals and breaking several world records. Kenya picked up the most medals, bagging a total of 10 medals, ranking as first in Africa, with the countries shining prominently worldwide, with most of the medals being won in the track event. One of Kenya's elite athletes at the Games was Eliud Kipchoge, who cemented his claims to be the greatest distance runner of all times as he retained his Olympic marathon title in brutal conditions in Tokyo. Kipchoge ran the 42-kilometer race in 2 hours, 8 minutes, 38 seconds to become the third athlete to win multiple gold medals in the men's marathon, joining Ethiopia's Abebe Bikila and Waldemar Sipinski. Shortly after arriving at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport in Kenya, Kipchoge spoke of his future plans to inspire Kenya's athletes to aim for glory.
I have a huge plan to inspire the youth and to inspire everybody in this world and to inspire Kenyans and to make running the Kenyan lifestyle. I want to actually tell those people, those young people, that to respect the sport or treat the sport as a profession. So I want to tell people, the young people, to please concentrate, be self-disciplined, and above all, respect the sport and make the sport a real profession.
Staying with Kenya, Kenyan Olympic sprinter Ferdinand Omanyala made history in Japan when he became the first Kenyan to run in the semifinals of the men's 100 meters at the Olympics, where he lowered his own national record from 10.01 to 10.00 seconds. The sprinter is hoping that his performance at Tokyo 2020 will inspire young competitors to take up short distance running. Omanyala, however, wasn't happy with fans and other countrymen who trolled some of the athletes over their performance at the Tokyo Games.
I've been reading comments about Kenyans that they're trolling people on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. They don't know how much sacrifice these athletes are making to get just only at the Olympic Games. So when I look at the comments and I see people talking bad about athletes, I feel bad because if you look the sacrifice that all these athletes have made, they have given their best when they get to that field.
From East Africa to the southern part of the continent, where Botswana has awarded each member of the country's relay team in the Olympic Games with a two-bedroom house. The team won a bronze medal at the just-concluded Games, the only medal won by Botswana in this year's game. It is their second medal ever in the history of Olympics, having won a silver in the London 2012 Games. Each member of the team was to be gifted $4,400 for the bronze medal won and $180 for setting a new Africa record. This year's win was for men's 4x400 meters relay, and the country was represented by Isaac Makwala, Boyapo Ndori, Zibane Ngozi, and Babaluki Tibe. Two other members of the relay team, Leongo Scotch and Anthony Pesela, will also be rewarded with their houses. In Uganda, three Ugandan athletes who won medals at the Tokyo Games have been rewarded with cars, a monthly salary, and a pledge to build houses for their parents. President Yoweri Museveni had directed that every sports person who won a medal at the Olympics as well as at a continental or Commonwealth event will earn a monthly salary of $1,400 for gold, $840 for silver, and $280 for bronze.
I said once you get a gold medal, you should be paid 5 million shillings per month all the time. 5 million for gold, Africa level, Commonwealth, and Olympics. Then silver, 3 million, bronze, 1 million. Now, these ones who have won Olympic medals, in my happiness, because I'm a happy man now, I will give each one of them a vehicle. Then finally, I have already built a house for somebody, I think Kiprotich, and now I will build houses for the parents of these gold medal people.
Uganda got two gold medals, a silver and a bronze medal at the Games. Joshua Cheptegei, world record holder of the 5,000 and 10,000 meters race, won gold and silver, sealing his place as Uganda's most celebrated athlete. Perut Chimutai became the country's first female athlete to win gold at the Olympics. Joshua Kiplimo won bronze in the 5,000 meters. And to Namibia, where Team Namibia arrived back home from Tokyo, Japan, and was welcomed with a hero's return by the Ministry of Sports, Youth and National Service and the Namibia Sports Commission. Namibia's Christian Mboma claimed an historic silver medal in the 200 meters to become the first Namibian woman ever to win an Olympic medal, just weeks after being informed she could not compete in her preferred 400 meters due to high levels of testosterone. Hank Botha, coach Christian Mboma, and her teammate Beatrice Masilingi.
My crazy child, Christine, we had a meeting before the race, and I said to them, girls, you know what, I've never pressurized you for medals. I've never asked you for records. I've never asked you to do but your best. But now I want you to run for the country. I want you to run for medals. Because you have seen what we have done already with people that are just phoning us from all over Namibia. And I believe in some kind of way we united Namibia again on the sports field.
Minister for Sports Youth Development Agnes Tunjongirero speaks of the role government played in supporting the 18-year-old Christine Mboma to her acclaimed success.
Much conjecture has been offered with regard to the role government played in all of this, especially the exploits of the two junior athletes brought unnecessary and ill-informed criticism at the door of our government. I want you to know that the government worked every step of the way with these two junior athletes. Every young aspiring athlete that participates in school sport does this under the watchful eye of the Namibia School Sport Union.
Another history maker at the just concluded Olympic Games is South Africa's Tajana Schoenmaker, who claimed both a gold medal and a new world record in the pool in Tokyo. Tajana Schoenmaker is now shifting her focus to the Commonwealth Games. Schoenmaker's gold was South Africa's first woman swimming gold for 25 years. Her longtime coach and mentor, Rako Merin, says his next task is to help the 24-year-old defend her title in 3 years' time in Paris and also find a way to make her faster.
What's next for me is the fact that I need to find a way to make her faster. So I don't know yet how yet, but and the rest of the group, they all have expectations and are inspired by her performance and by Kayleen and by Peter Kutsia. And I'm the lucky one that's got to try and deliver on those expectations.
Tatjana Schoonmaker, who was making her debut at the Olympics, won the women's 200-meter breaststroke in 2 minutes, 18.95 seconds, establishing the first individual world record of the Tokyo Games. Shortly after her arrival in Johannesburg, South Africa, where she was received by her parents, friends, and fans, she recounted what it felt like winning her first Olympic medal and what she intends to do in the future.
I think it sunk in a little when you finally get to come home and actually celebrate it with the people you love. So, yeah, I think it might never sink in really, which might be good because it wouldn't. I think even just being at the Olympics was an amazing achievement for everyone, and I still feel like it hasn't sunk in for any of us. So it's over now, and now we have to focus for 2024.
In Olympic basketball news, NBA Milwaukee Bucks Jordan Nwora, who has at the just concluded Tokyo Olympic Games, played for the Nigeria's basketball team, the Tigers. Jordan Nwora's first Olympic stint with the Nigeria men's national basketball team saw him put up 20 points on 7-17 shooting from the field and 3-7 on 3-point attempt against Italy. In every one of Nigeria's game, Nwora put his prolific scoring and shooting skills on full display. He notched a game high of 33 points and team high 7 rebounds in their 99-92 loss to Germany, and he had 10 points, 3 rebounds and 4 steals in their 84-67 loss to Australia. Nwora's reflect on his participation at the Tokyo Olympic Games, where his father was Nigeria's team head coach.
It was great. You know, I got to play with a great group of guys. You know, Coach Brown did a great job. You know, obviously I got to play for my dad, you know, with these two sides. You know, an amazing feeling. I got to represent the country. You know, I wish we would have done a little better, but you know, it happens. You know, I have a lot more opportunities to play in the Olympics, and and hopefully next time I go out there, it'll be a little bit better.
And to another Nigerian athlete who is the African record holder in the women's long jump event, Ese Brume. She gave Nigeria one of the two medals the country won at the Tokyo Olympics after she won the bronze medal in the women's long jump event, where she leapt to a distance of 6.97 meters. Ese Brume had shattered Chioma Ajumwa's African and Nigerian record, which has stood unchallenged for the last 25 years, after she leapt a distance of 7.17 meters to effectively bury Ajumwa's 7.12 meters record, which was good enough at that time for a gold medal at the Atlanta 1996 Olympics. Reflecting on her bronze medal, Ese Brume admitted she was under pressure to make a podium finish.
There was actually pressure, you know, from different places, and with the fact that I went there with a world-leading jump. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was actually pressured a bit, but I tried not to focus on that because it could cause a negative impact on me. So with the help of my coach, I was able to, you know, skate through, I mean, try to divert my focus from the pressure, and then I try to keep focus, keep keeping on, try to do things that would, you know, take my focus from the pressure from different places. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful to God that it's actually worked out, and you know, happy that with the fact that despite with the pressure from other places, I didn't fail.
And that'll be all on the review of African Olympias at the 2020 Tokyo Games. It's back to you, Dan.
Thank you very much, Samson. That's Samson Omale in Nigeria discussing the highlights from the athletes of the African continent at the Tokyo Olympics. And let's hear from one of those athletes, a medal winner, in fact, and a fan of the sunny side of sports.
Sporty greetings. This is Ese Brume, 3 times African champion in long jump. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America.
I'm Dan Friedel in Washington, filling in for Sunny. Now, for more details on Nigeria's track athletes, let's join Iron Mike Mbonye, who spoke with Dare Esan, who is the editor of Complete Sports newspaper in Lagos and a track and field analyst. The duo discussed Nigeria's performance on the track, which included Esebrume's bronze medal in the long jump. Take it away, Mike and Dare.
We expected a few medals in track and field, but in reality, we knew before the games that I think there was only one certainty, and that was Esebrume in the long jump. I think two, three others only had 50-50 chance of getting medals. And unfortunately, the luck was not with them on the day. For example, Toby Amuso in the 100 meters hurdles, she was ranked fourth coming to the games, and she actually finished fourth. So the luck wasn't with her on that day, and she was actually carrying an injury. So it wasn't supposed to be her day, and it wasn't her day. I think the only 50-50 chances we had was Blessing Okagbare and I think Divine Odudulu. But unfortunately, remember what happened to Blessing, the positive test for woman growth hormone. Then Divine Odudulu wasn't as fit as we expected. So, and they have just 50-50 chances. Like, you are not really sure what happens on the day that you take. For Chukwuebuka and Ekwechi, we knew that there was no way we could get to the podium, but getting to the final will be an achievement, and he did that. So it's only people who don't understand much that will be thinking, oh, we are supposed to get 5, 6, 7 medals in track and field. I don't think so. So I think we didn't exceed expectation because, like I said, it was a 50-50 chance for a whole lot. It was only a medal was, I think, a certainty for a medal, and she actually got the medal.
As an experienced reporter in track and field events, do you think anything went wrong with Nigeria's track and field team at the Tokyo Games?
The team in Tokyo, I think what affected us, not in terms of making medals, winning medals now, but in terms of getting more people in the final, is the 10 that were declared ineligible. Because a few of them, I think Favour Ofili will have helped the 4x1 to get into the final. You remember they didn't get to the final. Blessing will have also helped them to get to the final. Maybe she will have also got made the final in the 100 meters. The lady in the triple jump will have also got into the final, but you can see that it took a world record to win that, so it would have been very difficult for her to win a medal, but at least you would have got it to the final. Maybe this would have been our best Olympics in terms of the number of finalists we would have produced, because you remember, I think in 2000 we produced 5 finalists, then here we produce 4 finalists. So this is our best in terms of the number of finalists we produced in 21 years. So I think we've done well in the 100 meters hurdles. And for me, the highlight will be in track and field will be the two home base athletes, Enoch Adegoke and Grace Uwokocha. They really exceeded expectations. So if you are talking about athletes who exceeded expectation, I think it's those two. They really exceeded expectation. For example, nobody thought any Nigerian sprinter could make the world Olympic standard running at home, staying at home, training at home. But they did it. And for me, that is the highlight of the Olympics participation for us. And that will certainly spark a revolution of sorts at home here, because I believe the coaches that train these athletes, they are all here. They will now believe that, yes, we can train an athlete to get to the Olympic final and make a mark. Then for the athletes, it will give them that boost to that. If Adegoke could make it, if Grace Uwokocha could make it, then I think I can make it too. And so for me, that's the best positives that we have from this Olympics. I don't want to look at any negative, because the positives for me far outweigh the negatives. So we've really done well in terms of our performance in track and field.
The Commonwealth Games and the World Athletics Championships will take place next year. What should be done to ensure podium performance in athletics?
I think a well-organized federation that will take care of the problems that we had going to these Olympics will ensure that we have a lot of podium appearances at the Commonwealth Games. I don't really rate the Commonwealth Games, really, because it's not where you actually get the best in the world to come and compete. For example, Jamaica, that is in Commonwealth. How many times have you seen Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce and Thompson Era run in the Commonwealth Games? So I don't normally judge our level with our performance at the Commonwealth Games. Yes, we take our best there, but the rest of the world, apart from Britain, maybe that will, because they are hosting, that will take their best. A lot of other countries don't usually go with their best. So I am actually looking at the World Championship in Oregon. That comes before the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. I'm actually looking at that, and I want to see how Inokadeguke, for example, will have developed. At least he has broken the 10 seconds barrier now. So I want to see his level of development. I want to see the level of development of Grace Uwokocha. And there are a few athletes that are at home that are already knocking on the door. Then I want to see how Divine Odududu will fight back, because as we are talking now, he's no longer the best 100 meters runner in Nigeria. So he will fight back to take that position. So I want to see a whole lot. I want to see Toby after undergoing surgery, how that will also help her into, you know, get into the medal zone. Which other event? I want to see the relay team develop, because we have a lot of talent, especially in the 4x1 women. And like I said, the revolution that the achievement of Adegoke and Nwokocha will spark here at home, we'll certainly see a lot more of our athletes that will be coming up to deliver the goods.
That's Iron Mike Mbonye talking with the editor of Complete Sports, Dare Esan. Thanks, Mike. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out to Nigeria's other medal winner, Blessing Oborodudu, who won the silver medal in the women's 68-kilogram wrestling tournament. To continue our Olympics coverage here on the Sunny Side of Sports, we're joined now by my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Gwen has this story about the gymnast Jordan Chiles, who filled in admirably for all everything champion Simone Biles when Simone said she was unable to continue for Team USA in the team competition at the very beginning of the games. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. The U.S. women's gymnastics team won silver at this year's Tokyo Games without their star athlete, Simone Biles. Biles abruptly dropped out of the women's team final after she struggled through her opening vault and stumbled on the landing. She later said she withdrew due to mental health concerns and feeling lost in the air. Biles' surprise exit sent shockwaves around the world, but none were more stunned than 20-year-old Jordan Chiles, who had to fill in for the four-time gold medalist on the balance beam and uneven bars. And as Chiles recalls to Reuters News, she thought her coach was joking when she was told to step in with only seconds to prepare.
So after Simone's vault, my coach had told me that I need to put my grips on, and I was just like, no, she's being sarcastic, like, there's no way. And she was just like, no. Like, you need to put your grips on. And I was like, okay. So I was putting my grips on, and I was hoping deep down that she would be able to do the rest of the competition. But fortunately, she wasn't able to. So I knew at that point, I was like, okay, Jordan, this is your time. You need to show, like, why you're here and help the team out. Because at that point, it was all for the team. Like, no matter what was going to happen, it was a team moment, because there was only three of us. So we all just did what we did. Suni gave us a little pep talk and was like, guys, we got this. Like, just go for it. And we just went through with every single last piece that we had in us and gave it all.
And Chiles, along with Sunisa Lee and Grace McCallum, delivered a silver medal performance, finishing behind the Russian Olympic Committee in the team event. From the sidelines, Simone Biles shifted her role from competitor to mentor and cheerleading fan. And Jordan Chiles spoke of the importance of feeling supported by her idol, a champion in both gymnastics and on the issue of mental health.
I'm so proud of her, because there's not a lot of people who can speak up about it. And she did that on a big stage. Like, she did that. And I was so proud of her, because as gymnasts, mental health is something that is very, very needed. Because if we don't know where we're going, we can get injured. Something could happen to us. We can be out for the rest of our career. Like, it's really hard not to understand what mental health is. And that's the worst part of being behind the scenes. If you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, then you don't know what's actually going on.
Simone Biles has not yet said whether she will compete at the upcoming Paris Games, but Jordan Chiles says if her body and mind hold up, she will definitely consider representing Team USA in 2024. And she reiterated what she told Biles on the medal stand.
I had looked at Simone and I said, this is the last time you'll ever see silver around our necks as gymnasts. And she started laughing, and it's because it's true. Like, yes, we won silver. We didn't just get silver, we won silver. But when I was thinking of that, it was more so of us saying that we're all so dedicated and so strong, and that people should realize how much we've gone through to understand that we still are silver medalists. And these are gold in our eyes. Like, no matter what even happened, those are still the gold in our eyes.
Biles and Childs will team up again as part of the Gold Over America Tour, an event that will feature an all-star team of champion gymnasts. The tour kicks off on September 21st and will travel to 35 cities across the United States. And that is all from me. Dan, I'll hand it back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Gwen. That's my colleague, Gwen Uten. We hope you have a great weekend, too. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. We hope this show gets your weekend off on the right foot. And speaking of feet, we recently heard Iron Mike's story about what English football supporters in Nigeria were hoping for from their sides in the campaign that kicks off shortly with the opening match between Brentford and Arsenal as Brentford hosts the Gunners. Coming up on Saturday, don't forget, there's Manchester and Leeds at Old Trafford, Chelsea and Crystal Palace at Stamford Bridge, and Liverpool traveling to Norwich City, just to name a few. Sunday includes Newcastle and West Ham, and perhaps the biggest match of the weekend as Manchester City heads down to London to face Tottenham. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel, and I'll be back after this message to wrap up the show with the dreamy finish to a baseball game in the middle of an Iowa cornfield.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
That's USA Paralympic champion Tatiana McFadden. Tatiana, thanks for your support. Just a reminder to our VOA listeners, the delayed 2020 Paralympic Games in Tokyo get started in just over a week, running from August 24th to September 5th. Tatiana won 6 medals 5 years ago in Rio, and she is a winner in the wheelchair division of the Boston, New York, London, and Chicago marathons. Good luck, Tatiana. As I promised, here's a dream story from the world of baseball here in the U.S. Now, some of our Sunny Side of Sports movie fans may remember the 1989 movie starring Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams. The movie tells the story of a man who hears a mysterious voice telling him to build a baseball field in the middle of an Iowa cornfield. In the 30 years since it came out, it's become part of the sports movie canon in the U.S. Well, I'm here to tell you, they finally built this field. The game between two of Major League Baseball's top teams, the New York Yankees and the Chicago White Sox, did not take place in either big city, but instead in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa. In fact, some of the players even tried a few bites of corn right off the stalk. Here's David Schuster from the Associated Press with the story.
They built it, they came, and they played the first ever Field of Dreams game, and it was a dandy as the White Sox defeated the Yankees 9-8. 8 home runs in the game, 4 by each team, but the last one was the most dramatic as Tim Anderson's 2-run shot in the 9th won it. Here's Anderson on his heroics.
Definitely a pretty cool moment, you know, all around. You know, being able to walk it off is definitely, you know, one of my best moments of my career for sure.
Also hitting home runs for the Sox were Jose Abreu, Eloy Jimenez, and Sebi Savala. Aaron Judge hit a pair for New York with Giancarlo Stanton and Brett Gardner also going yard. Before the game, Commissioner Rob Manfred confirmed that this will be an annual event. David Schuster, Dyersville, Iowa.
Thanks, David. And that wraps up the August 13th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and thanks to Sunny for letting me sit in the big chair once again. I'm Dan Friedel, in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.